spiked the MSA, the vapor detector manufactured by the Mine Safety Appliances Company. If the MSA became saturated with too much vapor, it spiked, going haywire and setting off numerous alarms. That didn't mean anything was wrong, but it did mean one more hassle. Now the crew would have to conduct a formal investigation with portable vapor detectors. Holder went back upstairs and grabbed his boots. When he came down again, Captain Mazzaro was standing and talking on the phone to the command post in Little Rock. Childers was giving orders to the PTS team topside. Something wasn't right. Holder sat at the commander's console and looked down at rows of red warning lights. Oxy-vapor launch duct was lit. Fuel-vapor launch duct was lit. Vapor silo equip area, vapor oxy pump room, and vapor fuel pump room were lit. He'd seen those before when an MSA spiked, but he'd never seen two other lights flashing red. Fire fuel pump room and fire launch duct. Those were serious. There's a problem, Holder thought, and it could be a big one. Spheres within spheres. In the old black-and-white photograph, a young man stands at the bedroom door of a modest home. He wears khakis and a white T-shirt, carries a small metal box, and doesn't smile for the camera. He could be a carpenter arriving for work with his lunch or his tools in the box. A cowboy hat hangs on the wall, and a message has been scrawled on the door in white chalk. Please use other door. Keep this room clean. The photo was taken on the evening of July 12, 1945, at the McDonald Ranch House near Carrizozo, New Mexico. Sergeant Herbert M. Lair had just arrived with the unassembled plutonium core of the world's first nuclear device. The house belonged to a local rancher, George McDonald, until the Army obtained it in 1942, along with about 50,000 acres of land, and created the Alamogordo Bombing and Gunnery Range. The plutonium core spent the night at the house, guarded by security officers. A team of physicists from the Manhattan Project was due at 9 o'clock the next morning, Friday the 13th. After billions of federal dollars spent on this top-secret project, after the recruitment of Nobel laureates and many of the world's greatest scientific minds, after revolutionary discoveries in particle physics, chemistry, and metallurgy, after the construction of laboratories and reactors and processing facilities, employing tens of thousands of workers, and all of that accomplished within 3 years, the most important part of the most expensive weapon ever built was going to be put together in the master bedroom of a little adobe ranch house. The core of the first nuclear device would be not only homemade, but handmade. The day before, Sergeant Lair had sealed the windows with plastic sheets and masking tape to keep out the dust. Although the question of how to control an atomic bomb had inspired a good deal of thought, a different issue now seemed more urgent. Would the thing work? Before leaving Los Alamos, 200 miles to the north, some of the Manhattan Project's physicists had placed bets on the outcome of the upcoming test, codenamed Trinity. Norman F. Ramsey bet the device would be a dud. J. Robert Oppenheimer, the project's scientific director, predicted a yield equal to 300 tons of TNT. Edward Teller thought the yield would be closer to 45,000 tons. In the early days of the project, Teller was concerned that the intense heat of a nuclear explosion would set fire to the atmosphere and kill every living thing on Earth. A year's worth of calculations suggested that was unlikely, and the physicist Hans Bethe dismissed the idea, arguing that heat from the explosion would rapidly dissipate in the air, not ignite it. But nobody could be sure. During the drive down from Los Alamos on Friday the 13th, Enrico Fermi, who'd already won a Nobel for his discoveries in physics, suggested that the odds of the atmosphere's catching fire were about 1 in 10. Victor Weisskopf couldn't tell if Fermi was joking. Weisskopf had done some of the calculations with Teller and still worried about the risk. As Lewis Slotin prepared to assemble the plutonium core, the safety precautions were as rudimentary as the workspace. Jeeps waited outside the house with their engines running in case everyone had to get out of there fast. Slotin was a Canadian physicist in his early 30s. For the past 2 years at Los Alamos, he'd performed some of the most dangerous work. Criticality experiments in which radioactive materials were brought to the verge of a chain reaction. The experiments were nicknamed Tickling the Dragon's Tail, and a small mistake could produce a lethal dose of radioactivity. At the ranch house, Slotin placed a neutron initiator, which was about the size of a golf ball, into one of the plutonium hemispheres, attached it with scotch tape, put the other hemisphere on top, and sealed the hole with a plutonium plug. The assembled core was about the size of a tennis ball, but weighed as much as a bowling ball. Before handing it to Brigadier General Thomas F. Farrell, Slotin asked for a receipt. The Manhattan Project was an unusual mix of civilian and military personnel, and this was the nation's first official transfer of nuclear custody. The general decided that if he had to sign for it, he should get a chance to hold it. "So I took this heavy ball in my hand, and I felt it growing warm," Farrell recalled. "I got a sense of its hidden power." The idea of an atomic bomb, like so many other technological innovations, had first been proposed by the science fiction writer H.G. Wells. In his 1914 novel, The World Set Free, Wells describes the ultimate explosive, fueled by radioactivity. It enables a single person to carry about in a handbag an amount of latent energy sufficient to wreck half a city. These atomic bombs threaten the survival of mankind, as every nation seeks to obtain them and use them before being attacked. Millions die, the world's great capitals are destroyed, and civilization nears collapse. But the novel ends on an optimistic note, as fear of a nuclear apocalypse leads to the establishment of world government. The catastrophe of the atomic bombs, which shook men out of cities, shook them also out of their old established habits of thought, Wells wrote, full of hope, on the eve of the First World War. The atomic bombs in The World Set Free detonated slowly, spewing radioactivity for years.